Diverse communities across America honor the memory and work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. every year. The national holiday and Black History Month spotlight the civil rights movement and Dr. King's impact on the nation and the world. We Were Here presents the music and words of musicians, poets, and activists in a collage of Dr. King's oratory and the African-American experience. Interwoven among excerpts from Dr. King's speeches and essays are the works of artists such as vocal ensemble Sweet Honey and the Rock, poet and playwright Nikki Giovanni, Black Panther Bobby Seale, and the mother of gospel music Mahalia Jackson. I'm Lee Hay, and this is We Were Here from PRI, Public Radio International.
My mama says I was born angry, but daddy says any boy born colored in Mississippi who ain't angry ain't been paying attention. I love Mississippi, the deep piney woods, and the cool waters of the stream behind the house. Truth be told, my earliest recollections are happy ones. Like the day my daddy came home from the war. I love Friday nights in Miss Coleman's Roadhouse with her sweet potato pies and the way mama looked when she danced.
Sing, sing, Cut an Al Green cast. Said they could sing, yes.
Can you hear them sing?
Amelia Jackson and Albertina Walker and Shirley Caesar could. Said they could sing, yes.
Can you hear them sing?
Bob Marley and Big Youth and Jimmy Cliff can. Oh, they could sing, yes.
Can you hear them sing?
Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan and Shirley Horn can.
It was stay on freedom. Hallelujah. Childhood remembrances are always a drag if you're black. You always remember things like living in Woodlawn with no inside toilet. And if you become famous or something, they never talk about how happy you were to have your mother all to yourself and how good the water felt when you got your bath from one of those big tubs that folk in Chicago barbecue in. And somehow, when you talk about home, it never gets across how much you understood their feelings as the whole family attended meetings about Hollydale. And even though you remember, your biographers never understand your father's pain as he sells his stock and another dream goes. And though you're poor, it isn't poverty that concerns you. And though they fought a lot, it isn't your father's drinking that makes any difference, but only that everybody is together, and you and your sister have happy birthdays and very good Christmases. And I really hope no white person ever has cause to write about me, because they never understand black love is black wealth. And they'll probably talk about my hard childhood and never understand that all the while, I was quite happy.
Did you hear about the rose that grew from a crack in the concrete? Proving nature's laws wrong, it learned how to walk without having feet.
Looking down the list of artists on the album, I see Nikki Giovanni.
We just thank her. And I'll tell you why we thank her. Let me just say to you that I have never in my life met Nikki Giovanni. Nikki Giovanni, when my son was breathing, living, and causing many people great discomfort. Wherever she was, Nikki Giovanni stood up for Tupac Amaru Shakur. Wherever she spoke, she always made people understand what this young black angry man, who he was and why he was. Because Nikki Giovanni said, I have a son, that's my son. That woman is mother, like I'm mother. And, you know, I can't, because you just have to know from my perspective, because I've sat here through it all, and I've known when people were there for my child. And let me tell you what else, Nikki Giovanni, for me, go get her book, it's red. I can't even tell you the name. The book is this little, I beg you, you know it. That's it, who said that? Who knew that? That's what it is, ain't it? Love poem. And let me tell you what she says as a mother who's watched her son being, you know, persecuted. You gotta feel me. Nikki Giovanni's last line is, are you happy now, C. Dolores Tucker? I love her for that line. You know what I mean?
And I know that may be too new for some of you. And they used to sing it like this where I'm from the country. They used to sing it like this. I know it. Yeah.
first organized the Black Panther Party for self-defense, he would say, Bobby, he says, we're going to draw up a basic platform, just basic, that black people can read. He says, we don't want to go real elaborate with all these essays and dissertations and all this stuff, because the brother going to look at that and he can say, man, I ain't got time for that. I got to go see what I can do for myself. He said, just a basic platform that the mothers who struggle hard to raise us, that the fathers who've worked hard, that the young brothers in school who come out of school semi-illiterate. You say, we want freedom, we want power to determine the destiny of our black community, full employment for our people. Number three, we want housing fit, decent housing fit for shelter of human beings. Number four, we want all black men to be exempt from military service. Number five, we want decent education for our black people in our community that teaches us the true nature of this decadent racist society, and to teach black people and our young black brothers and sisters their place in the society, because if they don't know their place in society and in the world, they can't relate to anything else. Number six, we want an end to the robbery by the white racist businessmen of black people and black people in their community. Number seven, we want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of black people. Number eight, we want all black men held in county, state, federal jails and prisons to be released because they have not had a fair trial, because they've been tried by all white juries, and that's just like being tried in Germany being a Jew. Number eight, we want black people, number nine, when brought to trial, to be tried by members of their peers, and a peer being one who comes from the same economic, social, religious, historical, and racial background. If the United States government and the courts and the local courts did this, they would have to choose black people from the black community to sit up on the jury. They'd have to choose some of them mothers who've been working 20 years in Miss Ann's kitchen scrubbing floors like my mother had done. They have to choose some of them hard-working fathers. They have to choose some of those brothers who stand on the block out there wondering where they're going to get a gig. They're going to have to choose these black people. And number 10, he would say, let's just summarize it. We want housing, we want clothing, we want education, we want justice, and we want peace. Thank you.
strange fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black body swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Gallant south, the bulging eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rot, for the tree to drop. Here's a strange and bitter.
You're listening to We Were Here from PRI, Public Radio International.
Somehow is tied up with the destiny of America. Before the Pilgrim Fathers landed at Plymouth, we were here. Before Jefferson wrote the beautiful words from the Declaration of Independence, we were here. Before the beautiful words of the Star-Spangled Banner were written, we were here. And for more than two centuries, our forebears labored here without wages. They made cotton king, and they built the homes of their masters in the midst of the most humiliating and oppressive conditions. And yet out of a bottomless vitality, they continued to grow and develop. And if the inexpressible cruelties of slavery couldn't stop us, the opposition that we now face will surely fail. We're going to win our freedom. We're going to win our freedom because both the sacred heritage of our nation and the eternal will of the Almighty God are embodied in our echoing demands. And so I can still sing, we shall overcome, we shall overcome, because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right, no lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right, truth crushed earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right, truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mounting of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to speed up the day when all of God's children all over this nation, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Love, one of my lady blue red, on my steeple, goes behind on the livery, right on the dawn, on Tracy Mountain, on foot paths that way, on highways that rage.
Wasted. Come on, get ready. are essentially things with no rights, political, social, domestic, or religious. The absolute victims of all but irresponsible power. For the slave, there is no home, no love, no hope, no help. And what is life without hope? No writer can describe the slave's life. It cannot be told. The fullest description ever given to the world does but skim over the surface of this subject. You may infer something of the state of society in the southern states when I tell you that there are 800,000 mulattoes, 9/10 of whom are the children of white fathers, and these are constantly sold by their parents, for the slave follows the conditions of the mother. Hence we see every shade of complexion amongst the slaves. To describe to you the miserable poor whites of the South, I need only quote the words of Mr. Helper, a Southerner, in his most important work on slavery, and the testimony also of a Virginian gentleman of my acquaintance. The 5 millions of poor whites are, most of them, in as gross a state of ignorance as Mrs. Stowe's Topsy in Uncle Tom's Cabin. The free people of the northern states are, for no crime, but merely the fact of complexion, deprived of all political and social rights. Whatever wealth or eminence in intellect and refinement they may attain to, they are treated as outcasts. The white men and women who identify themselves with them are sure to be insulted in the grossest manner. I do not ask your political interference in any way. This is a moral question.
We will not bow down to racism. Yeah. We will not bow down to
injustice.
We will not bow down to
exploitation.
What you gonna do?
I'm gonna stand.
Just can't tolerate
racism.
I just can't tolerate
injustice.
I just won't tolerate
exploitation.
What you gonna do?
I'm gonna stand.
The lynching record of a quarter of a century merits the thoughtful study of the American people. It presents three salient facts. First, lynching is color line murder. Second, crimes against women is the excuse, not the cause. Third, it is a national crime and requires a national remedy. Proof that lynching follows the color line is to be found in the statistics which have been kept for the past 25 years. During the few years preceding this period, and while frontier lynch law existed, the executions showed a majority of white victims. Later, however, as law courts and authorized judiciary extended into the far West, lynch law rapidly abated, and its white victims became few and far between. Just as the lynch law regime came to a close in the West, a new mob movement started in the South. This was wholly political, its purpose being to suppress the colored vote by intimidation and murder. Thousands of assassins banded together under the name of Ku Klux Klans, Midnight Raiders, Knights of the Golden Circle, etc., etc., and spread a reign of terror by beating, shooting, and killing colored people by the thousands. In a few years, the purpose was accomplished, and the black vote was suppressed. But mob murder continued. From 1882, in which year 52 were lynched, down to the present, lynching has been along the color line. Mob murder increased yearly until in 1892, more than 200 victims were lynched, and statistics show that 3,284 men, women, and children have been put to death in this quarter of a century. During the last 10 years, from 1899 to 1908 inclusive, the number lynched was 959. Of this number, 102 were white, while the colored victims numbered 857. No other nation, civilized or savage, burns its criminals. Only under the stars and stripes is the human Holocaust possible. 28 human beings burned at the stake, one of them a woman and two of them children, is the awful indictment against American civilization, the gruesome tribute which the nation pays to the color line. Why is mob murder permitted by a Christian nation? What is the cause of this awful slaughter? The question is answered almost daily, always the same shameless falsehood that Negroes are lynched to protect womanhood. Standing before a Chautauqua assemblage, John Temple Graves, at once champion of lynching and apologist for lynchers, said, "The mob today stands as the most potential bulwark between the women of the South and such a carnival of crime as would infuriate the world and precipitate the annihilation of the Negro race." This is the never-varying answer of lynchers and their apologists. All know that this is untrue. The cowardly lyncher revels in murder, then seeks to shield himself from public execration by claiming devotion to women. But truth is mighty, and the lynching record discloses the hypocrisy of the lyncher as well as his crime.
I know somebody who declares he's got it made. He won't admit it, but it's just a masquerade. He's a modern day deceiver with a case of falsehood fever. But a shame, it's a game. And then there's Devil Sister, ain't she sweet?
Oh yes, she is.
She gets the word, next thing you know it's in the street. By the time it's been repeated, all the truth has been deleted. Oh, what a shame. Love her again. Seems like everything we hear is just a tale.
But I've got something that will never ever fail. It's gonna spread love.
Oh, it's gonna spread tonight.
Spread love.
The truth is no disguise. Say love could open any door.
Oh, but I wish we had much more.
More love is what we need. Da 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 da
da da da da da da da da da
da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da with a twisted sense of vision.
They treat rumors
like religion. No, what a shame. It's the same old well, these days it seems like everything we hear is just a tale. I believe in something that will never fail.
Spread love.
Instead of spreading lies.
Spread love. What the world needs now.
I'm telling you, love is what we need.
More love is what we need. What the world needs now.
We need more
love. More love is what we need.
Dum, 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 dum.
Spread love.
Dum, dum, instead of spreading lies.
Dum, dum.
Spread love.
Yeah, no, the truth needs no disguise.
What we need.
Yeet. Spread love. Spread love.
I've often said love could open any door,
but I wish we had much more.
More love is what we need.
Bang, bang.
Have I given anything today? Have I helped some needy soul on my way? Just to know I got my best, let me go home and take my rest. Yeah, and my name be with the blessed today.
Only have I given anything today. Only have I helped some needy soul on thy way. From the dark setting sun, of our wounded men in war, still weep forward and on today.
Yeah, oh, today.
Oh, today.
Oh, today.
Oh, today.
Oh, today.
Oh, today.
Have I helped some needy soul?
Sounds strange to you. Oh. I might preach the
You've been listening to We Were Here, an award-winning special I produced 10 years ago in 2003 and which was heard on over 50 radio stations across the country. You can hear the second hour of the We Were Here special on our website, WBXU.org. I'm Lee Hay, and this is 91.7 WBXU Cincinnati and 88.5 WMUB Oxford.